Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Words of the Wise podcast, hosted by me, Lexi Maynard. Our mission is to capture the words and wisdom of the world's elderly so that their story and legacy may last forever. Like what we're about? Then be sure to subscribe to receive instant updates on new episodes. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Words of the Wise Podcast, or on Twitter at Words of W Podcast as well. Joining us today for episode number 21, we have Sharon Starr. Despite the fact that she is almost 80, she has a great memory, and therefore told stories as if they had just happened yesterday. Here is episode 21, Sharon Starr.
My name is Sharon K. Starr, Weaver Starr, and I am 79. I will be 80 years old on January the 5th.
All right. And you grew up in LaPel, Indiana. What was LaPel like back then?
Back then, it was just a little town. Everybody knew everybody, it seems. And all of on my mother's side, mainly lived there. And I went all 12 years to LaPel High School. And at that point in my life, I was never going to move from LaPel. Never. That was my home, and I never wanted to move. And then I've been in Alexandria for 61 years now, so.
Oh, wow.
That didn't happen.
What did the typical day in your childhood look like?
When I was very little, I didn't have any brothers or sisters. I had had a brother that was stillborn, and he would have been 8 years older than me. And my mother always had a difficult time to have children. And so it was 8 years later and I was born. So I didn't have brothers and sisters. My mother stayed home. She was a stay-at-home mom until I was probably in the fifth grade. But my typical day was playing. I loved dolls. I loved paper dolls. I was definitely a girl thing. My dad he loves sports himself, always wanted me to like sports, and I liked to go to them, but I never did play sports. But I loved dolls, and I had a friend down the street that we went all 12 years to school together. Oh. And we played dolls through the daytime, and it was a typical childhood. Like I said, I started school. We lived about two blocks from the school, and my friend and I, we walked to school every day. And back then, it was before buses, but then we were close enough anyway. It was all in one building, and it was a older school. And I went there till I was, they built a new school when I was in the eighth grade. We moved out to then. I would have had to ride a bus because I was out of town. But the principal lived right behind us, and his wife was a teacher, and I went to school with these two children, so I would ride to school with them every morning, and I didn't have to ride the bus then.
Oh, that's nice.
I had a very nice childhood. Mm-hmm. Like I said, my parents were raised that my mother was raised in LaPel. My dad went to Frankton to school. But, you know, I would say it was normal. My parents weren't wealthy or anything, but I never really wanted for anything. But my parents were always like, if I didn't need something, I didn't get it. I mean, they just didn't buy me something just to be buying it for me.
Yeah.
And so I was always thankful for that.
So you were an only child, like you said. How do you think this affected you later in life?
I always wanted a brother or sister. I really, when I was growing up, I missed that some, but not near as much as I did when I got older, because just like after I lost my mother, she passed away suddenly in Florida when I was, probably 35. And we were very close. And so that was always very hard. And then my dad depended on me for everything after that. But it, you know, when both of your parents are gone, it really has an effect on you. Now, I was fortunate in that both sides of my mother and dad's family, we were pretty close, especially my dad's side, because there was only, I had two cousins. And so the one cousin and I are the only ones left now. And she and I have always stayed very close. And that's how I met my future husband and moved to Alexandria, because they lived up there and up here. But I, you know, missed not having, when everyone is gone, it's really hard. That's why I have three daughters, and I always, you know, we've always been close. And I told my girls, you know, that I want you to always stay close to each other, because it has an effect on you when you grow up and you don't have any family left.
Yeah, that had to have been so hard for you. I'm so sorry
about that. Yes, it has been, you know, because suddenly my parents had just retired. Well, my dad had been retired for a few years, but mother retired. And they'd only been in Florida 2 years, of course, they sold their home in LaPel and moved up here to Alexandria to be around my three girls, because that was the only grandchildren they had left.
Yeah.
And my mother was so looking forward to being up here and being able to do everything with the girls. And then she died suddenly in Florida that winter.
Oh.
So it was very hard on my girls, plus on me, and then, you know, my dad, and he depended on me for everything. And suddenly, you know, you have a family and then your parent depends on you. And he lived 20 years after my mother passed away, and he did okay for most of those years, but he always, you know, still depended on me for everything. And that was kind of hard when you have not had that, and you don't have any siblings to help you or anything. So it makes it a little bit difficult. So,
yeah. Do you say that you had a favorite childhood memory?
It would have to be, I had two uncles on my mother's side that were younger than her. My mother was the oldest of her siblings, and they played basketball. So from the day I was born, I went to basketball games. And I, like I say, I did not play them, but I have always loved sports. My dad loved sports. My dad loved to play baseball, and he used to play on a independent team, and we'd go to those games. And then I always went to the basketball games. And when I was five, they made me the little cheerleader, and I had an outfit and cheered with the big cheerleaders. And those were my favorite years, probably. I loved that. And I loved high school. I loved school, period, in high school. Then I went on to college, to Ball State, but did not. But I was so homesick, I did not like going to college.
Really?
I do regret that I did not finish, but I just had always been a homebody. And I loved high school. I loved school. I mean, I can remember when I graduated, I cried and cried, because I just loved being in school.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to say those were my, you know, fun years. I loved to be in everything and was a cheerleader. Then when I got older, and in choir, and of course, when you're in a small school like that, you can back then you could participate more. Now you have to be more specialized, but Back then, you didn't have to be.
Yeah.
So my childhood days and being in, going to school and got ball games and things was, I loved.
Yeah. Did you have a job growing up?
I worked. I didn't during high school, but between high school and going to college, I worked that summer down at the Finance Center in Indianapolis. And my parents told me they would pay for my schooling if I would work for the summer and buy my clothes and things. And so I worked then. I didn't work during high school or anything, but I did, you know, work then.
Yeah.
And then I didn't go to work. Then that's when I'd met my husband my senior year. And then I went to Ball State, and then we got married that next summer. I was only, I was too young, but I was 19.
Oh,
but
okay.
He was 5 years older than me, and he had been in the service and already had been, was out of the service, and that when we were married then. So, and, you know, it was too young, but I wouldn't trade it. I mean, we were very, very happy all those years, but, you know, he was much more mature than I was.
So let's go back just a little bit. As we've been talking about your childhood and high school and those years, what would you say is the greatest thing that your parents taught you?
I would have to say being kind and nice to people, and that I can remember, like I said, I used to, in the summertime, I would walk to town to the post office to get the mail. Then back then they didn't deliver it. And I can remember my parents always told me, you always speak to everyone, especially older people, whether you know them or not, because they may be the only people that has seen them. They don't have family. And you speaking to them means something. And be kind to people. I went to church every Sunday, and I took my grandmother, my grandparent, mom and dad. They didn't go every Sunday, but once my grandmother didn't drive, and so once I had my license, I always would pick her up and take her places and that. But I would have to say that was, but yet my parents, like I said, were stern with me, like my husband. He could not believe that being an only child, that I never had a car all the way through school. But I never, and I never asked for one. I don't know. I could always have parents' car when they would be home of a night. I mean, I could take it and that. And then I usually, then when I got old enough to date, I had a boyfriend that had a car. And, but, you know, I never did ever own a car until I got married, and my husband had just got one. But I would have to say the only thing that my parents, I feel like, should have been more strong with me or stern would have been, they didn't teach me enough about finances. And I mean, like I said, I didn't just have anything, and if I wanted something, I could get it.
Yeah.
But I always knew that I would not hurt for anything. And so, you know, when I got married, it was a total different story. And my husband had just gotten out of service, and he did get on at General Motors and that. And he had grown up just the opposite of me. He had come from a broken family that struggled all the way through. And so, you know, we always worked together, and it was hard on both of us for a while. But I will have to say too, he helped me a lot, because he always said when we got married, now your parents are not going to help us, and Bella, you know, we're married and we do things on our own. I remember when we bought our first house, it wasn't too much, but we never even told my parents till after we'd signed the papers. And oh, that my dad especially was like, oh, well, we would have helped. And, you know, Fred always said, no, we are on our own. And we have to do things. So, you know, I had to learn that. That was a lesson that I learned, but it was a good one. And, you know, we were always that way after that. So,
yeah. Your husband, you said that you met him your senior year of high school.
So
what was his name?
Fred Starr.
Okay. And how did you meet him?
Well, I really, like I said, I met him through my cousin that lived up here. But when he was, like I said, he was 5 years older than me. And when he dated, it's complicated, but he dated a cousin of hers on the other side of the family. He and his girlfriend then would have to take us over to the show, the matinee on Sunday. But so I remembered him, but he never remembered me. I mean, like I was that much younger than him. I meant nothing to him then. And then when we got together was my senior year. And like I said, he had gotten out of the Army and was back home. And it was my senior year. And he went to the ball game, the sectional. And I was a cheerleader for LaPel. And he was there. And we played Alexandria. And he was there watching. And he asked my cousin about me, said he'd like to date me. And so that's how we got together my senior year. But that was another thing that was nice, because I, you know, had prom and we went on a senior trip and everything. And he always told me, you know, go have a good time. This is the time of your life and that. So we weren't really real serious or anything. I dated him some, but, you know, I couldn't take him to my prom. And
yeah,
and I always appreciated him for that. And then another thing, I always said two things I liked with the guy I dated. I wanted him to like to dance, because I love to dance and dance fast. And not too many guys back in my time like to do that. And like sports, because that's, I'd grown up around it all the. And so those were two things. He was really, his old girlfriend had taught him to dance, so he was a good dancer. And that was the things that attracted me about him.
Yeah. So then,
crazy when you think about it now, but back then I enjoyed.
So what was your actual first date?
We were with my cousin and her boyfriend. And, of course, I lived in LaPel, and they came to LaPel and got me. And we came back to Alexandria, and my aunt and uncle, the cousin, that they run the bowling alley here in Alexandria.
Oh.
So we went bowling and then had pizza and that. So that was our first date, double dating with them.
And then how long did you date before he asked you to marry him?
Well, we then went together all that. We kind of start after I got out of school and went to Ball State. But all the time I was over at Ball State, he was here in Alexandria. So from Muncie to Alexandria was not that far. And like I said, I was homesick. I did not really like school that well at all. And he played basketball on an independent team, and he used to come and get me, and I'd come over here to the ball games and that. But I lived on campus over there in the old Army barracks, and which is all torn down now. But so we went together all that year. And then he gave me my engagement ring at Christmas time.
Then
we got married that in June. We were married on June 26th.
Oh. Do you remember how he specifically asked you to marry him, or was it just on Christmas? And
well, we talked about that so much. I think it was around Christmas time. And I don't think my parents had ever met his mother. His dad lived in Arizona, but his mother. And I think he brought her down to my parents' house, and he asked me to marry him. down there at my parents' house, and we met his mother.
Aww. And then you said you got married in June. What year was that?
In 1960.
Okay. And you would have been, what, 19 at that time?
Yes, I was not just 19.
Mm-hmm. And so considering you were so young, you two didn't have a lot of money when you were first married. How did you get by, would you say?
Well, that's what I say. It was very hard for me because I had not. And then again, I wanted to work. And so we were married in June. And it was very hard, too, because I moved to Alexandria. And really, the only people I knew here then was my cousin. And they were married in July after I was married in June. We stood up with each other. And so the first year, it was kind of hard because I didn't know that many people. I did get in a sorority. But we were married in June, and I got pregnant in, September.
Oh, wow.
And Tammy was born the next May. But that first year was hard because I didn't know that many people. And, you know, I then was pregnant, and I was offered a job. Because what I took at Ball State was business, and I was on a two-year business course, and I excelled, and I love shorthand and never did have a job where I used the shorthand and typist and all that. And I took the test, and I could get a job at working in the office at Delco Remy. My dad was a general supervisor there. And then I found out I was expecting, and I could have gone ahead and worked because you can have 6 months off, but my dad would not let me take that job because I found out I was expecting. That I always regretted because we would have had two General Motors incomes, and that would have helped immensely, but then I stayed home, and then I didn't go to work till, like I said, we had three girls, which the last one wasn't really planned for. And I went to work when she was 2 years old. So for, you know, many years, we just lived on the one. But in the meantime, he had gotten on apprenticeship at Delco Remy. So he went to school 4 years, two nights a week at Anderson High School for tool and die for. So he, you know, had a pretty good job, but he knew how to save money because he, you know, had grown up with not much when he was growing up. So I always, you know, was thankful for him because he was much better at finances than I was, let's put it that way, at the start.
Yeah.
But I learned and took over after many years. But anyway, so... But then when I went to work, you know, then I worked the rest of the time, the kids. But we had a real good older lady that we knew here in town. Mm-hmm. And she didn't have grandchildren, and she kept my cousin's children and mine. They called her Grandma, and she, I don't know, you know, I couldn't have done it without her leaving the kids. But she was wonderful to them, so.
Yeah.
You know, worked out, but you just have to, you know, I think sometimes nowadays the ones the age, they don't want to work at it that hard, and it's not easy. I'm not going to ever, you know, say that, but, you know, to me it was just, there wasn't divorce in my family at the time, and it was just like, you know, you knew you just made it work, but mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't do that, but we made 60 years in June, and then he passed away in August, so
yeah,
we got 60 years of
life together. What are some of your favorite stories from you and your husband's life together?
After we started, he belonged to the Elks here in town, and we they had a lot of activities, and he got involved in that, and he knew a lot of people, everyone practically, but we got a lot of close friends, and we really, really, really enjoyed them. I mean, but we also were always very involved in everything our girls were in school, and you know, I always felt bad that he didn't have a boy, but he was always close and, you know, was to the day he died, so close to his girls. And one, you know, was a cheerleader, and two more, they were in the drill team and the band and that. And so he took part in everything. He was like president of the PTO at their little country school. And then he got into that's when our band was huge, and they went to the state fair and they did real well. And he was president of the band boosters, and he liked to do things like that. I was one that liked to help, but I didn't like to take over things, and he always did. So we were always very involved in what our kids were in school, and never missed, you know, going to the games or band concerts or anything. But we still had a good time with our friends too. And you know, about all of us that we run around together have lost one of the spouses, but we still, of course, two of them are, the women are in nursing homes now, but we still, you know, always talk, and we've always stayed friends and that. So we had, you know, a great time and that, but we also were very involved with our girls. And
yeah. So you said you were married for 60 years. That's obviously a very long time. What would you say the key to that successful marriage is?
I would say it is you always have to communicate and talk to each other and never go to bed mad and try to work things out. So many, I feel like now, they just don't want to try to work it out. And it's not easy, and that you have to learn to give and take. And I always said, you have to learn what battles you need to fight, or not fight, but what battles you need to discuss. And sometimes I would give in to things, and he would too, and that. And so it's give and take, and be there for each other. And like I said, we had a lot of the same interest, and we loved going to the basketball games. He always, and then we had all these grandsons, and we went to everyone. They started playing when they were about four, but we always went to every one of their games. And you have to learn to trust each other, but also be willing to work things out and talk about them. And you know, he liked to play golf a lot. And sometimes, you know, when we were younger, I would think sometimes, well, you shouldn't be going to play golf right now and that. But then again, I would think, well, he works every day and that, and he deserves that. So you have to learn to, but we like to do things like, he was a good skier, and he had done that in high school, being in ski shows, and he also had been a lifeguard at the pool. So for a while, when we both were working and had more money and that, like, we had a boat, because he always wanted his girls to be good skiers and that. So we had a boat, and our friends had one, and we used to go to boating and that, and the girls were great skiers. And then he started working a lot of overtime then at the factory. And so then we sold the boat, and we were in the last house that we had bought. And that's where we were all the time. The kids were finishing 20 some years. So we ended up putting in a pool. And so they were great swimmers and knew how to dive and everything. So, you know, we always did for the kids and work with them. And our friends would come out there and bring their children. And we used to have a race day party. And my girls and all the grandkids all remember that it was on race day. And we would have a big party there and swim. And so, you know, we have really good, and the girls do too, a lot of good memories of that. But you know, you have to do a lot of things together. My dad played a lot of golf. I played some, but it just never was chasing that little white ball around.
Yeah.
That was not one thing I liked it. Plus, then I my mother had osteoarthritis, and that's what I have too, real bad now. And I got to the place where, you know, I had that. But everything else we always, you know, did together and that. So I really think that's, but, you know, I would never tell anybody it's easy, but you have to learn to compromise and respect the other one and love, and it can work out.
Yeah. So you have three daughters, you said, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And could you name them all?
Yes. The oldest one is Tamara K. McClintock. My middle one is Kelly Jo Carroll. And then Jill Suzanne Townsend. They're all, you know, pretty close together in ages. So for a while, we were a very busy couple. One year, I can remember they was all in different schools. One was in grade school, one was in middle school, and one was in high school. And I can remember my parents then, mother was still alive then. And every once in a while, they'd have to come up and go to one activity because they'd all have an activity the same night, and I'd go to one, Fred would go to one, and my parents would go to one. But so, you know, we were quite busy there for several years.
Yeah, sounds like it. What lesson would you say you stressed the most to your girls when they were growing up?
We always stressed the girls that the main thing to both of us was whatever you start, you are going to finish. And they all did have summer jobs and that, worked at the root beer stand and that, and made money, because with three of them, you know, it was, would get expensive. And but it, like band, our middle daughter, she thought she wanted to be in the band. Well, she went to band camp. She was never one to like to stay. Well, she got homesick, and her older sister was there herself. But she wanted to quit the band when she came home. She hadn't even performed with them yet. And Fred and I told her, no, you're not going to do that. You're going to go through this year. If you, after the year's end, do not like that and you want to participate in something else, you're going to be in something, that's okay. But you started it and you wanted it. And so we always told them that about their jobs and everything. They depend upon you, and you go to work, and that you're not going to just call in and say you can't come in one and that. So we tried to teach them, you know, that, and to be kind to people. And I taught a Sunday school class, and we took them to church, you know, and Sunday school. But we basically, what my parents had told me, you know, that you be kind to people. And I worked at the school for a few years, so of course I was out there and would know what they were doing. But I can't say we really ever had, you know, any big problems or anything. So,
yeah.
But
yeah. Do you have any particularly funny stories from when the girls were little?
Oh, yeah. Jill and Kelly are only 19 months apart. And the way their birthdays fall, though, they were just a year apart in school.
Oh, wow.
So Kelly, the middle one, she was always very serious and very studious. And Jill, the one that did this, she always made the grades and everything, but she was just happy-go-lucky. And I can remember we'd go to teacher conferences, and barely they would get the same teacher. And Jill hated that because we would go and the first thing that they would say was, well, Jill is nothing like Kelly. Well, yes, we know that. We're told that every year and that. And her fourth grade teacher told us, she said, I think she gets Jill all A's and B's. But she said, I think if I had to give her a D or an F, she'd smile and say thank you. She always had a smile and was just happy-go-lucky, and she didn't worry about things. Kelly did, was a total opposite. And it was just always funny with them in school because, like I said, they were as different as night and day by that. And Tammy, the oldest one, was always very, very serious and that. But Jill was just always just happy. For example, when she was learning to drive, Fred brought a straight stick car because Kelly was going to college. And then Jill got her license, and she got so mad because he bought that straight stick, and she told him he took her out to teach her to get her to drive, and she said, I can't drive this car. She said, I've only got 2 feet, and it's got 3 pedals. And he come home, and I said, she surely wasn't serious. And he said, oh, yeah. She was as serious as you could be and that. And he said, well, I'm going to tell you right now then, you'll be riding the bus because this is what you're driving. It gets good gas mileage. And but then that too, her senior year, besides everything else, one of Jill's friends, her mother went off and left her and her sister. Their mother was divorced. She went to Florida with some man and left these kids by themselves. So that one Sunday, the girl, Jill brought her over. Well, she was a senior and said her mother had left her. So we took her in and she lived with us all their senior year. And the father lived down south. And so the grandfather had said he'd pay support for her to stay, but he never did. So, you know, we paid for everything for her our senior year too, which we certainly didn't have the money to do, but what do? You don't turn someone away.
Yeah.
And she's always stayed close to us now. She has children of her own and she's always, you know, stayed close to us. But so we ended up, you know, having an extra one then the senior year. So, but mm-hmm. That was just something, you know, you just don't turn someone away. And
yeah.
So she lived with us. So
yeah.
So we have a lot of interesting, you know, moments in that.
Yeah. What would you say is the most rewarding part about being a parent?
It is rewarding to see how all the family, how much you have now. Me being an only child, Fred come from a family. He had 4 siblings, but like I said, his father had left him and didn't pay support. But I would say now, coming from just myself, only child, I had 3 daughters, and then I had 7 grandchildren. We went to everything the grandchildren were in. 2 lived in Fort Wayne, and we didn't get to everything there, but the others lived here. And then now we have 8 great-grandchildren. So now, with the significant others and there, I just counted up for Christmas what I need to get, and yeah. There's 28. So it's very interesting that I come from just being an only child, and now I have 28 people in my family, but I wouldn't have it any other way. The great-grandchildren is what keeps me going, you know, through all this and losing my husband, because it was, and Fred loved his family. His family meant everything to him because of his broken home and that, and his 3 girls and the grandchildren, even the great-grandchildren are just, they still are talking to me. It happened in August, and 2 of them are just turned 3, and they are still talking about their papa Tar. They can't say star, and they'll say papa Tar. And they haven't forgot him yet, and I didn't even think, you know, that they would, but we just have been there, and I love going to all their birthday parties, and now the two older ones are starting to play ball, so I don't know how much I'll get to that with this arthritis, but family has meant everything to both of us.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any parenting advice for parents right now?
Parents right now is to be involved and know what your children are doing and be involved in their school. And I think they should have a religious education and I truly believe in Jesus, and that they, all of mine here are, you know, involved in the church that I go to. But I think that, and to know what your children are doing, it helped a lot that we lived in a small town. But we always, before we let our girls go places with people, we always knew the background of the children and that. I mean, we just didn't let them go with someone that we didn't know and know anything about them and that. I think you have to stay involved in what they do and participate. I mean, I just feel like that's very important, and we enjoy doing it. But I know it is harder now than it used to be because of all the technology and all the things that, you know, they can do now that I know I didn't, but the girls had a little more. But we always just were very involved, and I just think that's very important.
Yeah. And what would the Sharon of today tell herself as a young wife and mother?
I would have probably, it would have been really my parents making me understand how the world is. I just always thought everything was just fine and the whole world. And when I think back now, like Pearl Harbor, I would have been that was in December of 1941, and I was born in January of 1941. And I'm thinking, and then as I got a little bit older, I think, you know, even as I got older, I don't remember all that and the Great Depression and that, all that happened. My parents just really, I think, kind of kept things like that away from me. And it was harder than when you grow up and the world just isn't rosy all the time. So I feel like, and I feel like that's what we tried to do with the girls and them, and to make them understand that, you know, it wasn't like that. And like going to college and that, it was okay, but they worked while they were over there, had a summer job, or they would work over in the finance office or something, just part-time, but at least they had to make some money. And I always felt, you know, that was something that I should have known more about. But, you know, back then, my parents were wonderful, and they did, you know, what they felt like was the best at the time.
Mm-hmm. How many different houses did you and your husband live in? And then did you have a favorite one?
Yes, we started out in an apartment, and we lived there over a year. Tammy was born there. And then my husband's grandmother knew some people that had a house, little house that we could rent. And so we rented that little house. And, well, I think we only stayed there a year or two, because the house was a nice little house, but the people lived right in a little house right behind us. And I didn't know till later that the woman had not been able to have children, but she was so nasty and mean. And she would come in our house when we were gone and look around and see and if anybody pulled in our driveway, she would be out there and tell them they couldn't park there. And it was like, we have to get out of here.
Yeah.
And so we looked at this house, and this is when my parents was, and I think back then it was only like 18,000. It was just a little brick house, but it had 3 bedrooms, but they were small. But so we loved that house, but we did not have money saved for the down payment. And I don't know, it was not very much, but it was builder here in Alexandria, Pete Schott, and he built all these houses. And we loved that house, but we didn't have the money down for it. And he said, if you want this house, I'll help you get it. I'll pay the down payment, and then you can just make a payment to me each month also, and then pay the mortgage and that. And it wasn't very much. We didn't owe him very much, and we paid him on time every month till we had that paid off. And that's when my dad got so upset. Well, if you'd have just come to us, we would have given that to you. And that's when Fred said, no, we're doing this on our own. We aren't. And that was one of the best lessons I think I ever learned right then, that that was the way you did things. And I respected him for doing that. So we were in that house probably till Jill was in the second grade, and we moved in our house out on 28, which it was a big house, but we got it, you know, pretty cheap too. And that's the one that where we stayed. So those were the 3 houses. And then once the kids left and they were gone, then they came back, and you know, we used the pool and we had a lot of good times. But then we could see that Delco Remy was maybe going to be sold and Delphi take it. And Fred said, if we're ever going to sell this house, we probably ought to put it on the market now, because it was too big for us to take care of. And Fred had his mother and his grandmother both to take care of.
Oh, wow.
And so he had their yards to mow, and we had over an acre. So that's when we moved out to the apartments on the golf course, and that's where we ended up then staying. So our favorite house was out on 28, because that's where the kids grew up, and we had the pool, and there was the basement we fixed up and had it in Alexandria colors, and the kids could have parties down there and use it. And so they had company that was another thing. Our house was always open. Mm-hmm. For all their friends, because we'd rather they'd be there than out on the street. So that was another thing. Our kids used our house, and they knew they could always bring friends, and they were welcome, and they could spend the night. And well, I mean, we that they run around with and that. So
did your family go on a lot of vacations, or did you go on vacations ever?
Yes, we did go to. We started when they were younger. We would go to Florida over spring break. There was a group of us of about 6 or 7 couples. And the girls have very fond memories of that, too, because they had children the same age and they run around with them in school. And we used to go down there for a week for spring break. That was usually. And then, like I said, we had the boat in the summer, and then we had the pool. But we did go to Florida. We used to, like, we would get tax refund money back usually, and that's what we would take, and we would go to Florida. So that kids have a lot of good memories of that too, because like I said, we went with our friends, and the kids still are friends with all of them. So we've always, you know, some of the others of our group have died off, but the kids have always been friends. So that was a lot of fun times. So that was usually our vacations.
Yeah.
Fred and I did go on our anniversary a couple different, when we went to Myrtle Beach one for a few days and that, and by ourselves. But mostly everything we did, you know, was with our girls and that. So.
Mm-hmm. And you've talked about this earlier in the interview, about how you and your husband had a lot of friends and that you've had for years. What would you say is the key to those long-lasting friendships?
You know, we were all a lot alike, and we laughed because we all were in the same boat, except the one couple owned a funeral home here, and he ended up doing well in that, and they have lived in Florida for the last few years, although she passed away last year, but she was my very best friend. But it was like we always got along, would have fun, and if there was a group of us, and if everybody couldn't go, we never got jealous of the other one if that one couldn't go, or when the one couple, you know, we'd laugh because they did go more places because they, and we'd say, well, we all started out poor, and how did you go around us and get and have more money? And we just laugh about that. But we always did everything, you know, and never jealous of the other one. And they just liked the same things that we like to do. Like I said, we boated together, and then they used our pool a lot, and then we went to Florida together. I think that's it, because since then we knew a couple, but she used to be, they didn't really run with us all the time, but she used to get real jealous if anybody did anything and that, and they weren't. That was later in life, and I always said, I'm so glad the friends that we all run around with, we never were that way. We just had a good time, and our kids, we got together a lot, because when the one couple had the funeral home, they couldn't always go places, and they lived above it in an apartment. And we would go up there and take our kid, and our kids would all go up there. And like I said, the kids were all good friends. So we just really had the kids with us a lot, and they grew up with them. And so, you know, and just like now, that I said the one couple in Florida, and that she died a year ago, and that, and he's still in Florida, but he and I talk on the phone a lot and reminisce about memories and that, and it does both of us good, because he misses his wife, and now with Fred gone and that, and, you know, we just pick up the friendship and just talk, you know, and like if he's lonely or I get lonely, well, and then we get to laughing about it, some of the things we did and, and that, so those friendships were absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. So how many grandkids do you have again?
I have 7 grandchildren.
Okay. And what would you say is your favorite part about being a grandma?
Oh, they've always been very close to me. And, of course, they always say that the oldest one, Landon, is my favorite. And he's not my favorite. He was the firstborn. But he's always been very close to Fred and I. And, I mean, he took Fred's death very hard. And he was the one that was playing golf right behind Fred and went in the ambulance with him and tried to talk to Dad. But he was gone, and he's taken that really hard. But being there with him and going to all their activities, and the one in Fort Wayne, I mean, they've all had different sports. The one boy in Fort Wayne, he was a good baseball player, so Fred loved to go up and watch it. He was a pitcher. And then the daughter up there, she was a swimmer, and so we went to a few of her matches swimming. But the ones here played most all sports. And then the girl, the daughter here, granddaughter here, she was a cheerleader. And then the boys all played all baseball and sports. But just having a relationship with them, going to their birthday parties and all their friends, and still to this day, the ones, and if they come home, they all call me Mamaw. I've always been Mamaw Star to all of their close friends. And, you know, most of them are married now and got children and that, but, and some of them live away. And it's funny when they come home, because they always, if I see them, I'm always Mamaw Star and that, but we just absolutely loved them and did everything. Went to all their games and helped the girl, our daughters out if they were working, and picking them up and taking them and that. So we just always been, you know, really into our family.
Yeah. How old were you when your husband retired?
It was after the girls got married. That's another thing. The girls were all married and had big weddings. And when I say big, I don't mean they were just out of this world, but they had, you know,
a lot of people there.
Yeah, and they all had new dresses. And the last one was, Jill was the last one. in 80 something. I probably, and Fred didn't want to retire. He wanted to keep working, but that's when General Motors started. He thought they were going to be bought out, and he had to take this buyout, and that was when we decided we needed to get rid of the house, because they had him take a buyout, and he really wanted to keep working to replenish all the money we'd spent on college and weddings. And then he did work several part-time jobs after that. But I was still working then, but I was probably maybe 60. Of course, he would have been 5 years older than me, so.
So then when you two both were retired, how did you spend your retirement together?
Okay, that has probably was the hardest part, I think, that when, because we'd always, in the last few years from that, had both worked, and he went early to work and got off earlier, and I never got off till 5 o'clock and that. So we never, you know, we would, and then we were always into what the kids were doing and that, and then the grandkids. And it was hard because we were both used to just going and doing, you know, not being together all the time. I could handle it better than he could, because I could find different things to do, and I like to keep a neat house, and I did things. But he did play a lot of golf in the summertime, and which I was glad he did, and he did that to the end. But it takes adjustment, I think, when you first retire, when you've both worked outside the home and that. You have to, you know, work, because he was always a morning person. I wasn't. Neither were my girls. Oh, it was mass. It was awful of a morning before we'd go to work. I'd go to work and they'd go to school. Oh, my gosh. But he was a morning person. Me, I just like to have my coffee and sit there and not talk for a while. Yeah. And that. So, you know, just little things like that you had to get used to. But it's like everything else. We managed it and that to do it. But, you know, sometimes it wasn't always easy. But like I said, he played a lot of golf. And by then, with the kids all gone and everything, I was glad that he was able and that he did. And so he usually, every day that it was nice, he'd play golf in the morning and that. So, and I, you know, I had my friends that I'd go to lunch with and do different things. So, I mean, we always found something, you know, to do. The worst part was this last year with the COVID and all that. That was very hard on him, because he likes to be out and doing things, and he would ride his bicycle and that, and it was hard to keep him home when he was supposed to stay home. But but like I said, we worked it out. You just figure out a way, and we still would go out to dinner with our friends that was still living in here sometimes. But so it's a different adjustment, but that's just part of life and part of marriage. So,
mm-hmm. And your husband ended up unfortunately passing away. How have you coped with his loss?
It's been hard. Well, we had made a decision, because the place we had, it was a townhouse that we'd moved to over on the golf course. And he loved being right on the golf course. And he'd go out even after we have dinner and hit golf balls and all that. And we loved it. But it had stairs. And we were both, I really, with this arthritis had gotten bad in the last year. And then he had 3 different things happened to him, and the last was he got hit with a car. A lady come around the corner there in front of our house and hit him.
Oh my gosh.
That was during COVID, and then we were quarantined because they had take him over to hospital, but they didn't keep him, but he had a concussion real bad. And I think that was sort of the downhill of everything for him. So he had said, oh, about a month before that, you know, maybe we ought to think about moving out of these apartments because these stairs are getting to be too much. And so there's this senior living places over here across the street, which is across the street from the golf course, but it no stairs, and I love it over here. I don't know, but I said, well, so we put our name in over here. And she said, well, there wasn't one open, but they would let us know, and we wanted a two-bedroom. You could have a one or two. And so the morning that he passed away, she had called and said she thought she was going to have one open, and we get a two-bedroom. And so he knew, I guess he told the neighbor guy that he'd worried about me and with those steps and about moving, because he told me later, the friend, he was so glad I went ahead and did it. Like I said, then he died that afternoon. Well, then I had to hurry up and go through everything in our house, what I could, and I didn't know what I could bring over here and what would fit. So for the first 4 or 5 weeks, I didn't hardly have time to grieve over him. At the time we, you know, got settled, and Jill tried to help me with all the papers and stuff I had to fill out and that. So it's not been until I have really gotten over here. And, you know, I have good days and bad days. But, you know, when you've been with somebody that many years and that, and like I said, the last few years we had done everything together, and we both had our own leather chairs, and we'd be, you know, side by side. And we had two TVs because sometimes we wouldn't watch the same things, and one of us would go upstairs and that. But It's been, you know, I like I said, but the family has been very good to me. I don't know what I'd do without them. But I think I would be better, but this COVID has just... But see, I can't get out now. The kids, you know, I don't want. So that's what's made it so hard. If I could just be out and go, you know, have lunch with my friends and do like I did before. Mm-hmm. But right now I can't do that. I'm stuck in here. So that's what's made it, you know, so hard and that. And like I said, my days, but the girls have been, Jill and Kelly live here, and they've been real, real good to me and helped me in that. And the grandkids were, but now, see, I can't even see them and that because they've all been exposed and been quarantined and that. So I can't be around that. You know, we're trying to figure out what we'll do Christmas. So, I've learned to do a lot of things that he just did for me. He was good about. And being a tool and die maker, he could fix anything. And so I miss that because he could take anything and fix it. But, you know, you just have to learn to, I know I'm not the only one, so I have to learn to cope with it.
Yeah. So as you look back on your life, who are the people who have influenced or impacted you the most, would you say?
Well, when I was growing up, it would have been my parents. And like I said, I worshiped them, and that was hard when I lost my mother. But I'd have to say now it would be Fred. I mean, he grew up totally different than me, and we learned to work things out. And he was always, I've always been a warrior, and he always, that's the part that's the hardest for me, just like getting through this COVID, because I always would think the worst about things, and he always had an upbeat attitude about something, and he never worried about it, and he would just be there for me. And I would have to say I miss the most. And the pastor we have had now since we come to another church, and he lost his wife in March, and so he's been an influence too. You know, I talk to him a lot, but I would have to say they've been the most to me. So.
Yeah. Would you say that you have a favorite memory or time period of your life?
My greatest memories, I think, are, like I said, getting married. I was very young, but I was happy, and we were happy together. And then Tammy came a little over a year later, and having the kids and watching them grow and go to their things and feeling good and being younger and that, I would say those were the happy times. And being with our friends and that was just a very happy time to us. Mm-hmm. And we never had a lot of money, but we always got by and everything too. So, you know, you just learn to give and take a little, and we've tried to teach the girls, and they work part-time jobs so they could. And I'm very proud of the girls because they all three graduated from college. That was something we really wanted them to do, but sometimes they don't always do that, like I didn't, but we dwelled on that, and they did all do that, and they all have very good jobs. And I know that Fred fell, and I know that I will when I go. I know that my three girls all have good jobs, that if they had to take care of themselves, they can do that. Mm-hmm. And they've had successful careers, and I'm proud of them for that. You know, I'm proud of Fred and I that we were able to do that for them, and it wasn't easy. And, you know, like I said, we struggled a little bit there at the end because that was not the way we meant to end. Was he was going to keep working and I, you know, would. And so you learn to just cope with what you do. But yeah. I think biggest accomplishment is getting my family to where they are now, and they're good parents to the grandchildren, and so far the grandchildren have been to their children, so I'm very proud of that.
Mm-hmm. Do you regret anything?
I regret that I didn't go ahead and finish college, because my parents had told me they would go ahead and pay for it if I wanted to go. And I wish they would have instilled that a little more in me. But, you know, I didn't, and we made the best of it.
What advice would you give to the younger generations?
I would give advice as to, I don't necessarily think the college is for everyone, but I do believe in this, like, trade school and getting job, or, you know, so you can get to do something that you enjoy. But if you do college, you know that it's very expensive, but know what you want to do and be working towards it. But you just got to try to, it's difficult now because the age difference and how I lived is so totally different than the kids nowadays.
Yeah.
But I, just like the grandchildren, you know, I always said, be respectful and study and do what you're supposed to do and be a good citizen and be a good husband. If you get married, be a good husband, father. You know, I told them all they had good parents that have done that. And but I it's just, to me, being the age I am now, it's hard to give these younger kids because our lifestyles are so different. And back then we had to learn to have fun and that. And it was just like we used to put a quarter in the gas tank. We'd drive around LaPel all evening and yeah. Just drive around. That's because we didn't have the things to do now and all the, and go to ball games and things like that, but we didn't have what all they have now, to all the technology and so many more things that the kids can do. And I know they're smarter than all of we were. I laugh at my kids because, or they laugh at me because I can't do all this technology.
Yeah.
I mean, I learned to type on a little old typewriter that wasn't even electric. And then to what they come to now, and I did use a word processor at my job and computer, but I said, you know, my little three-year-olds can do more than I can do on all these iPads and all that. But I say just be kind to your parents, respect your parents, and to everybody else, and try to be as good as you can be, I guess.
What do you believe is the most important thing in life?
To me, at this point, is Jesus and having faith. And I'm very much into my church now, and it has sustained me through a lot. And I depend on my faith. I try to every day pray to have faith and not fear. You know, now all I've got to do is read or watch that TV and see how bad it is. And that's hard to do. And I think my faith and my family,
yeah,
would be the two things that gets me through right now. And my family is very, very important to me, and that very.
Mm-hmm.
They, I think, have been all brought up well, too, because they are very respectful of me, and they have been here to help me through this. They moved me over here, the boys, and the girls have decorated it, and I couldn't ask for any better family right now, and I'm very proud of that, because I think it's just gone down the line from my girls, you know, to their children and greats. And so I think faith and family is the two most important things to me right now.
Yeah. And then one more question. What do you hope to be remembered by?
I hope to be remembered as a good Christian, a good mother, a good grandmother, and a good great-grandmother. My family means everything to me. And so far, they think about their papa all the time, or dad. And I hope that they have the same thoughts of me when I'm gone, because that means the world to me. And I hope that I've tried to be nice to everyone and help people that need it, and just try to be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think God has a plan for your life, so you just have to do and have faith in Him.
Mm-hmm.
And He will see you through. And I know He's been a huge part of my life right now, and that helping me. And I do love the place I am, and He's played a big role, and I do believe that.
Try to be as good as you can be. This is the advice Sharon Starr gives to the younger generations. Considering Sharon relies on her faith to sustain her and is the most proud of her family out of each accomplishment in her life, there is no doubt that she will not only be remembered as a good Christian, good mother, good grandmother, and good great-grandmother, but as an amazing person overall.
So far feeling okay, so I just watched them give the first dose of that vaccine in New York to a healthcare worker, so.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Maybe we're on to something here, I hope. And the cardinal rule was with the pool that nobody got my hair wet. I did not get my hair wet. And that, because I didn't know how to do it to begin with. I went to the beauty shop every week. So that they all knew this, that you don't get mother's hair wet if she's in the pool. Well, Tammy, the oldest one, had the boyfriend that she was dating, and he graduated from Ball State too at the same time. But really didn't know him real well, but she ended up marrying him. But anyway, we had this party, and just out of the blue, I'm out by the pool, still got this dress on, my shoes, good shoes, and it was a good new dress, my watch, everything. And oh, once he picked me up, and I didn't think he would have never thought he would have done that, he threw me in the pool.
Oh my gosh.
Just threw me in, and I mean, I went clear to the bottom, and I'm coming up thinking, I can't believe he just did that. I can't believe I'm up to 28. When you get married and that, you never dream that you will ever get that far.
I know, that's awesome.
When I think back on it now, you know, I just like, oh my goodness. What a long way of coming.
Yeah.
60 some years, but.
Wow, you've had a great life.
I wouldn't change it.
Yeah.